welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're at Craigens on Gull Lake with the Minnesota National Guard's Recruiting and Retention Battalion for their mid-year conference, and we'll be speaking with their commander in just a moment. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
The soldiers and airmen of the Minnesota National Guard have contributed to the nation's defense as a full partner with our active duty counterparts. Our guardsmen have deployed more than 26,000 times to support missions across our globe. We now have the best trained and best equipped force we've ever had. Our soldiers and airmen demonstrate their commitment to our organization through hard work and consistently maintaining our readiness levels above Army and Air standards. This significant investment in the training and equipping of our National Guard as an operational force has greatly improved our ability to support domestic operations across the state during emergencies. When disaster strikes, the citizens of Minnesota count on the National Guard to be ready and equipped to respond to our neighbors in distress. Whether we are responding to floods, wildfires, or blizzards, the Minnesota National Guard must remain always ready to answer the call from our state, our communities, and our nation.
Thank you, General Ash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is Lieutenant Colonel Mike Pasternak, who is the commander of the Minnesota National Guard Recruiting and Retention Battalion. And we're up at Craigens this morning in the dining room, which was full of soldiers last night, but it's beautiful sunrise coming up over the lake. And, Commander, what a place to start a day and on the radio.
Yeah, good morning, Tom. Thanks for letting us spend some time with you this morning. It is a beautiful morning.
So, Commander, what brings you and the battalion to Craigens at this time of year?
Well, we have 83 recruiters in 58 communities around the state, and we get together twice a year, bring our whole organization together. In the summer, we get together at Camp Ripley with our soldiers and focus on training. We celebrate the successes from the previous year and get prepared to start our next recruiting year. Our recruiting year starts each year on the 1st of September. In the winter, we do an event like we're doing this year, which we call our mid-year conference, where we bring in our families and celebrate them. And we focus on our families and their support and dedication to help us do what we do. And we provide training. We give our family members access to resources and services and recognize them for their long support.
And Colonel, we want to get into today the mission of the Minnesota Army National Guard Recruiting and Retention Battalion. Just by the name of it, clearly it sounds like it's your business to go out and recruit new soldiers to join, and the other end of it is to keep them in once they're trained, and hopefully they'll stay for a good long career like you have.
That's right, Tom. So our mission, each year, we provide the opportunity for approximately 1,700 people to join the Minnesota Army National Guard and serve their great state and country. You know, we're very proud of our history and lineage and the accomplishments of the Minnesota National Guard. And we're particularly proud because in Minnesota, we have the 21st population of any state, but we have the sixth largest National Guard. And that is a testament to our great recruiters who recruit more people per recruiter than any other force in the country. But even more so, Tom, it's a credit and testament to the citizens of Minnesota that each year they want to step forward and serve their country and their state.
Sir, I understand that your recruiting battalion has led the nation in the ability to find young soldiers to serve for over a decade. How do you do that?
Well, Tom, we hire good people and we go out and we find good people. And when you live in Minnesota, that's not too hard to do.
And you had quite a few senior NCOs in here last night because you had a dining out. We filled up this beautiful dining room. Someone told me last night that in order to be eligible to be a recruiter, you have to be, is it an E7? Is that right, sir?
No, Tom, you can actually, you can join as low as being a specialist, but they quickly can progress and rank up to Sergeant First Class, and that is the majority of our recruiters.
So a lot of stripes in here last night, and a lot of recruiters have been at it for quite a few years. That must be part of the secret, sir.
It is, Tom.
Colonel, let's talk about this year, 2016. I know you had a good year in 2015. How's recruiting going so far?
Very well. We are on track. And, you know, the way we continue to have our success is we get out and get in front of as many people as we can, educate them on the opportunities and that we have here in Minnesota and the National Guard, and ask them to join.
Colonel, just a reflection on my part. We've been at this radio show now for over 5 years, and since September 11th, 2001, there's been a lot of deployments, but we see a lot of your soldiers signing up and a lot of your soldiers staying in. What brings them back? And I'm amazed that our Minnesota citizens will not only join, but stay, knowing full well that they're probably going to go be deployed.
Service. It's as simple as that. You know, there is a lot of discussion about generational differences and changes in technology, and you'll hear negative comments about the youth doesn't get it today, and that's no different than that's been historically. But as I go around and I talk to all the recruits that we bring in, the overwhelming number of them tell me the reason they joined is to serve.
And not only serve, but reenlist and continue to serve. And a lot of the soldiers I've talked to look forward to going on some of these deployments because they get that extra training, they get that extra duty. Sometimes that comes with an extra stripe or maybe a promotion, and they're all into it. And one of the things that I noticed last year when the Minnesota Army National Guard was preparing to deploy for the Ebola deployment, a lot of the soldiers I talked to wanted to go. And I said, well, aren't you afraid of that? And the answer was, no, I'm not afraid at all. We're the best trained force. We can train for this. We'll be ready for this. We can handle this. We want to go.
Absolutely. So, you know, what you're hearing is you're hearing pride. And we take a lot of pride in our organization, and we believe people want to be part of something great. And we know that we offer that. You know, we perform well above average in anything that we do. We're traditionally ranked in the top number one, number two, number three, and just about any measurable category that the military has. And we take great pride in that. There's that sense of pride. There's also that sense of brotherhood and sisterhood that you find in the military that you cannot replicate elsewhere. And there's also a sense of family that we have.
And confidence in their training and their leaders.
Absolutely.
Sir, you've been commander of the Minnesota National Guard's Recruiting and Retention Battalion since December 2013. What are the most interesting things you've learned over the last couple of years?
The most interesting things I've learned is the power of giving people an opportunity. And so our efforts, you know, we've talked about increasing the diversity of the National Guard, but for us, the focus is not on the diversity, it's on inclusion. It is on getting out there and finding anyone who is eligible, who has a desire to serve, and then giving them that chance. And then you watch people grow, you watch people excel. You watch what happens when you provide them resources and tools that maybe they didn't have access to before.
Colonel, we've had the Adjutant General on the show, and one of the things he talks about all the time is diversity in the force, as you've mentioned, and that he wants the force to mirror the population of Minnesota. But at the same time you're doing that, you're also looking for some specialty jobs that you need to fill. How complicated does that get?
Well, it does get it can be complicated. But we keep, you know, our job is to try to keep that simple. We know which areas that we need to emphasize, and we focus on putting a little additional emphasis in those areas to try to attract the right type of talent to fill those key positions.
Colonel, we're going to have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk to one of your soldiers, Staff Sergeant Horton, about females in the Minnesota National Guard and all the great things that are going on here in Minnesota. We are up at Cragans on Gull Lake this morning with the Minnesota National Guard Recruiting and Retention Battalion. And this is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we're at Cragans on Gull Lake today with the Minnesota National Guard's Recruiting and Retention Battalion. And my co-host for the show is Lieutenant Colonel Mike Pasternak, who's the commander of that battalion. And, Commander, beautiful morning up here, looking at the sunrise over the lake, and quite a place to have your mid-year conference up here at Cragans.
It sure is, Tom. We're very fortunate that the Cragans staff has provided this opportunity for us and such great support.
Yep, they've done a great job up here, and Catherine Stotka is always there to make sure everything runs smoothly. Joining us now is Staff Sergeant Corinda Horton. Corinda, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. Little technical glitch. Josh, do we have the Sergeant Horton on the line?
Hi, this is Sergeant Horton.
Good morning, Sergeant Horton. I understand, welcome to the show.
Good morning.
I understand you're over in Duluth drilling with some recruits this weekend.
I am, and it's very exciting. We've had a great drill. We've already been up since we've been up for a couple hours already, did PT, and they're eating breakfast at this time.
And those are recruits that have signed up and not yet gone to basic training. Is that true?
Yes, it's a recruit sustainment program that the Minnesota Army National Guard runs, and it allows people who are in high school or college to be a part of the program before they go to basic training or their advanced training. So it's a wonderful program. It gets them ready for basic training. So they're doing the activities that you would find at basic training. So when they get there, it's not as, you know, it's still going to be tough because, you know, this is the Army. But it helps prepare them for that in their life.
So they get a little head start instead of just going in it cold like the active duty does.
Exactly.
Sergeant Horton, I understand you, what made you interested in joining the service in back as far as 1987? And then flash forward, I understand your daughter's interested in joining.
My daughter actually has joined, and she was with me last night for drill and this morning. I was 18 years old in 1987, so that tells you how old I am. And I was my father was in the, he was one of the first AGR soldiers for the Minnesota Army National Guard after coming off of active duty. And so I grew up with always being around the military, the Army, and he was with me in a pickup truck, and he said, "Hey, you know I'm not going to pay for your college." And I said, "No, I did not know that, Dad." So he said, "How would you like to talk to one of the recruiters and see?" At that time, Minnesota offered what was called a 50% tuition reimbursement. Now it's all the way up to 100%. But at the time, I thought, you know, here I am. I didn't really know what I was going to do with the rest of my life, and I wanted to go to college, and I knew that the Minnesota Army National Guard could help do that for me. And so that was one of the reasons. But the other reason was that our family has always been a military family, and so service to the country mattered to me very much so. And looking at my daughter, when she decided to join, 17, high school junior, decided to do the split training program and be a part of the RSP, hers was all about service to country. She had seen both her mother and father serve in the military. Every morning I get up and I put this uniform on, and she wanted to have that. And she also decided to choose an MOS that was not available to females not that long ago. And so she was excited about being challenged and doing something different and being able to prove that she could do things that other people thought maybe she might not have been able to do in the past.
And Sergeant Horton, that's a great way to end the next question. In January 2015, the Minnesota National Guard focused on recruiting currently serving female soldiers into general gender-neutral positions in the line units that were opened up last year. Can you tell me how'd that process go?
Well, and actually prior to January 2015, one of our Army Guard units, the Red Bulls of the 1st Armored Brigade Combat Team, 34th Infantry Division, was one of nine National Guard brigades selected to take preliminary steps towards this policy change by participating in a pilot program that enabled women to be assigned to the headquarters of combat arm units. Command teams are still in the process of identifying some of these women leaders. And I can say a few years ago, I was actually approached and asked, would you be interested in serving in a line unit, a combat line unit? As an NCO, they're looking for leadership so that they have that in place as these young females start to join these MOSs that were not available to women before. And I actually did consider it. I always wanted to, I was, you know, when I was a kid, I was a tomboy when I was younger. And I wanted to be able to say, hey, I can do exactly what you can do. And my husband, being a 19 Delta Scout, I thought, hey, I'm going to show you what I've got. But I found a home in the recruiting command, so that's where I'm at right now. And I'm seeing a lot of these young women who are now doing these MOSs that were open to females before that are now joining, and it's very exciting.
Sergeant Horton, we had a few female NCOs on the show some months back, and we asked them about opening those positions, and they said they thought that was terrific, but they liked the positions they were in. They weren't going to move. But now this year, all the positions in all branches are open to females, and things have really changed, haven't they?
Oh, I think it's fantastic. And one of the reasons why is as a female in the military and serving since 1987, I had the opportunity in the 1990s to see what it was like not to be able to progress your career because you were stuck in an MOS or a job that you couldn't move forward in. And so I, in a sense, had to go to school three times just to find an MOS that would allow me to be, go to the next level of sergeant. And now this new group of people that are able to join are going to have all those opportunities, and those ceilings are already going to be demolished. And that way they can choose a job that they want. They can find something in a line unit that they can do that will allow them to progress their career and possibly, like for example, my daughter, she's going to be in field artillery. And so she's going to be able to do something that she's going to enjoy. She said, no way are you going to put me behind a desk. So it allows people to do the things that they want to do, the new opportunities and the choices that they have, and then also be able to make rank and move up the move up in their careers.
We're speaking with Staff Sergeant Corinda Horton on Minnesota Military Radio from Craigens on Gull Lake. And Sergeant Horton, there have been a lot of firsts in the Minnesota Army National Guard and in the Minnesota National Guard. Recently we had Colonel Sandy Best was promoted to Brigadier General. And, of course, before our current Command Sergeant Major, we had a female Command Sergeant Major. A lot of things are opening up.
Well, there's a lot of firsts, and that's very, very exciting. And the more firsts that we do have in the military, it allows for all the others that follow to be able to do it, and it'll just be secondhand. I can recall just not too long ago that, you know, the highest-ranking female that I would have met would have been a major, and then it wasn't. And then this second go-around that I've been in, you know, you can see lieutenant colonels, and now the fact that we have female generals, it's extremely impressive. And I have to say that General Dunwoody and I actually had something in common. I was looking her up before, you know, just to kind of look at all the female leaders that are out there. And she graduated from Shape Belgium High School the year before I moved there as a three-year-old little girl with my father while he served at Shape. So it's exciting to see. And the more that you see these females in leadership roles, and especially at those high levels, it opens the doors for more females to see that they can achieve that greatness as well.
And General Ann Dunwoody was the Army's first four-star general last July.
Yeah, very exciting.
Sergeant Horton, I understand last year you participated in the first female symposium, which provided workshops to help develop female professionals. What were your impressions of that event?
Well, the wonderful thing about that event is that it allows for both females and males that attended to see that there are professional development opportunities, and that to meet other people who are of higher rank. It helped women of all ranks, all the way down from private up to the general, female general that was there, be able to see, you know, the progression and to meet each other. I spoke with a couple privates that we sent down there last year. We were able to send some brand new recruits that hadn't even been to basic training to participate in that event. And what they got out of it was, well, first off, they were just really impressed with hearing from the female Air Force general. It was inspiring to them. It made them want to advance their career and inspired others to kind of do that same thing. And then also the males that attended, I was able to hear from males in that I work with, and they were really impressed with how it was put together, how they were able to see some things that maybe they were doing that were gender specific that they didn't realize that they were doing in their work environments, and make some changes. Even if they were subtle changes, they were important changes to help females feel that they can move up as well. So I think it was a terrific event, and I'm excited that our state really puts a lot of emphasis on diversity and females in the military.
Sergeant Horton, we've only got about 30 seconds left. Is there another event scheduled for this year?
There is. The Minnesota National Guard is holding their second female symposium on Saturday, August 13th, and we expect it to be bigger than last year with more than 700 attendees.
All right, Sergeant Horton, take good care of those recruits over in Duluth today.
Thank you, and you guys have fun at Craigens.
Thanks for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio. That was Staff Sergeant Corinda Horton from the Minnesota National Guard's Recruiting and Retention Battalion. We are at Craigens on Gull Lake today, and we'll be back with more of the troops, the soldiers from the Minnesota National Guard Recruiting and Retention Battalion right after these messages. Please stay with us. Today's Yellow Ribbon Company Spotlight is the Minnesota Department of Corrections. Their commitment to service members, veterans, and military families includes identifying military-connected employees and recognizing their contributions. They have developed training programs for managers for hiring veterans, as well as how to effectively assist a veteran in reintegrating back into the workplace after a deployment. With locations all across the state, the Department of Corrections has connected with Yellow Ribbon Community Networks to partner with them on community support efforts. The Minnesota Department of Corrections has been a Yellow Ribbon company since October of 2015 and is proud to make a difference to service members, veterans, and their families. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. Today we're up at Craigens on Gull Lake with the Minnesota National Guard's Recruiting and Retention Battalion for their mid-year conference. And we're going to visit with more of those soldiers in just a moment. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shalito.
Wednesday, March 16th is Veterans Day on the Hill at the Cedar Street Armory starting at 10 a.m. This event is sponsored by the Minnesota Commanders Task Force, the United Veterans Legislative Council, and the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers. This day is a day veterans will come together and deliver a unified message to energize the legislature on veterans-related issues and advocate for their 2016 legislative agenda. The event is open to the public, and veterans are encouraged to attend and meet with their legislators by appointment at the conclusion of the rally. This day will reflect a powerful image of veterans in action, and with a united front, we can tell our story and ask for support on initiatives that impact Minnesota veterans and their families.
For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. As I said, we're broadcasting from Brainerd today. We're in the beautiful dining room overlooking the lake. Gull Lake at Craigens on Gull Lake, and sun's coming up, and it's a beautiful morning, Colonel. My co-host today is Lieutenant Colonel Mike Pasternak, who's the commander of the Minnesota National Guard Recruiting and Retention Battalion. And Colonel, we've got a couple more of your soldiers with us this morning. Who's on the microphone now?
Well, we sure do, Tom. Our next guest is First Sergeant Ben Rimoldi, and he is our Battalion Operations NCO. Good morning, First Sergeant.
Good morning, sir. Morning, Tom.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
First Sergeant, we've been talking about the strides in female inclusion in the military. And I understand you serve on the Diversity Council for the Minnesota National Guard. Can you tell us about that and what that looks like?
Certainly, sir. So basically, the National Guard, one of the TAG's six priorities, the Adjutant General, is to increase and diversify the force. So we want to look like the community we live in, and so these eight different special emphasis councils focus on the different diverse groups of Minnesota. And I myself am the manager of the Native American, American Indian Heritage Council. So we basically bring attention to any of the issues that the specific diversity group may have, or how we can help to include them in the force, represent what our communities look like inside the National Guard.
First Sergeant, I understand there are American Indian Minnesotans and all across the country serve in greater numbers than the rest of the population. Is that still true?
That is true, Tom. It's interesting fact that the Native American culture really emphasizes and appreciates the warrior type mentality and stuff. And so we find that of per capita of the Native Americans, they tend to serve in a much higher proportion than a lot of the other different groups within our society. So, and we the numbers also reflect that here within the Minnesota National Guard.
So in your diversity council that you serve on, when you analyze the troops serving the Minnesota National Guard, do you come up with focus areas, certain ethnicities? I can't say that word this morning. It's too early in the morning. But certain characterizations or certain people that we want to try to focus on when we recruit?
Absolutely. For example, with the Native American Heritage Council, what we're looking at is some of the different units that have a higher than average concentration, obviously due to maybe living near reservations and stuff around the state with the units in those areas. And then how can we help improve those to see that they gain leadership positions within the Guard to help, much like Sergeant Hartman was talking about with the female group, to bring them up as well. So one of the ideas actually we've been looking at is how do we build a leadership type project, and it's not just inclusive of only that community, but go out and bring it to those units that have a higher concentration of Native Americans. So everybody can benefit from it, but specifically really target that group as well.
you're constantly adjusting and focusing so that you can update the complexion of the force to match the society.
Oh, exactly.
Sounds like a big job.
it is a passion of mine. I enjoy just seeing everybody being able to benefit from the National Guard and just really look like our community.
Are there certain communities you've made more strides in than others?
Yes, actually. We've made market strides in all groups over the past 5-6 years, but some of the significant ones are in the female population, which we talked about extensively already, and then in the Asian American group as well as with the African American, are making significantly larger steps as we look at the numbers.
First Sergeant, sounds like you enjoy serving on that diversity council.
I do. Yeah, it's a really good time. It's full of really good people that are passionate about making us look like our community.
Colonel, did you have something to add to that?
Can you tell us a little bit about the Lax for Life project that you participated in?
Absolutely, sir. So the Lax for Life project is a lacrosse camp, and it's conducted annually up at the Fond du Lac Indian Reservation up in Cloquet, Minnesota, just south of Duluth there. And, last year I got an opportunity to participate. We're one of the sponsors. We go bring a couple individuals up there, provides kind of like a first aid station, and then teach them leadership stuff. It's not just a lacrosse camp, so I didn't know what to expect going up last year. And they incorporate about half of each day is different leadership topics, whether it be career directions, working on heading off for higher education or what career they want, making good choices. Historically there's been some issues with drug and alcohol in the Native American communities, and really trying to tap at that 12 to 17 year old age to help get a handle on that before they become an adult and become issues in the community.
First Sergeant, keep up the good work, and thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Tom.
That was First Sergeant Ben Romali from the Minnesota National Guard Recruiting and Retention Battalion. Colonel, we've got another guest putting on his microphone now, and he's one of your officers.
He sure is, Tom. His name is Major Ryan Kelly, and he serves as his title of his position is called our production officer in charge. His focus is on making sure that our recruiters have the right environment, training, and resources to be successful in their job, and he's here this morning to talk to us about the great strides we're making in working with our schools around the state.
Major, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Good morning, Tom. Thanks for having me, and it was nice visiting with you and your wife again last night.
It was good to see you again, sir. It's been a few years. Major, can you tell us, does a large percentage of your soldiers come from as high school students?
I would say, yeah, a significant percentage of our enlistments come out of high schools. And I should start by saying that all of our enlistments require to have a high school education or the equivalent. And over 95% of them do have that high school diploma, and the remainder would have the equivalent in the form of GED or something like that. As far as enlistments directly out of high schools, somewhere on the order of 40% of our enlistments come out of high schools. About 30% of those, or 30% of the overall enlistments on any given year, are high school seniors, and about 10% are high school juniors. We're unique in that we can enlist juniors at the age of 17 in the Minnesota Army National Guard. They, with the consent of their parents, they can enlist. They can actually attend basic training between their junior and senior year and be ready to start college right on time after their senior year.
Sir, I understand there's over 1,300 high schools in Minnesota, according to highschools.com, and they vary from inner city to greater Minnesota. How does your recruiting force get the word out to the students of those different backgrounds and all over the state?
Yeah, well, we try to keep it simple. As the battalion commander said earlier, what we need to do is get in front of all those groups. So we don't target just specific groups. Our recruiters are assigned to every zip code in the state. So we divide the state up into zip codes, and that includes the high schools that are in those zip codes. And we go out and to talk to, kids in Roseau, Duluth, Minneapolis, Rochester, Laverne, and everywhere in between. We get in front of those young Minnesotans, regardless of their economic or ethnic background, and expose them to the opportunities that service in the Minnesota National Guard brings.
So does the Minnesota National Guard actually partner with those schools?
Yeah, we do. There's a number of things that we can do with the high schools. Obviously, we're interested in talking to high school students for the same reason colleges are, because that's where the next generation of soldiers comes out of. you know, one thing that some of our recruiters will do is they will present classes. Obviously, National Guard soldiers in many cases can bring in experiences that the educator just doesn't have. For example, a social studies class. You know, we have recruiters that have been to Iraq or Afghanistan, so they can come in and talk about their experiences there, or Bosnia, or any number of places that they've been and experienced. You know, we have mechanics who can come in and teach, you know, classes on how to repair or use a Humvee in a mechanical class, things like that. Additionally, we'll do career center presentations and advertising with athletic teams. And then one of the biggest programs we have is the ASVAB, which is the Armed Service Vocational Aptitude Battery. It's a test that can measure math and reading proficiency, but it also gauges career interests for young men and women and kind of helps guide them to making some decisions on what's next for them.
Sir, can you tell me about educator lifts? If a high school teacher, counselor, or coach was interested in participating, who do they contact?
Yeah, sure. So this is a program we started about a year ago, and what we do is we put high school educators, counselors, administrators that work with 11th and 12th graders, we put them on a helicopter, a military helicopter, and we fly them up to Camp Ripley, and we spend the day learning about the Minnesota National Guard and what we do and what opportunities we afford. We do some briefings, some touring, and some hands-on stuff, and then we fly them back so they have some more knowledge to share with their students that might be thinking about what's next.
What a great day for them.
Yeah, as far as what to do to get on one of those, the best thing to do is to talk with the local National Guard recruiter. If you're a high school administrator, counselor, or educator, you know, if you don't know who that is, if you stop in your career counselor or career center, I'm certain that career counselor will know who that recruiter is.
Major, we're just about out of time, but what college benefits are available to students wanting to pursue the military?
Yeah, with not a lot of time, it would be difficult to go over those. I think the most significant one that we talk about mostly at the Minnesota National Guard is the 100% tuition reimbursement based on the University of Minnesota Twin Cities rates. So a young man or woman who joins the Minnesota National Guard could essentially, you know, get a four-year education, and the Minnesota National Guard is going to pay for it. And that's a benefit specific to the Minnesota National Guard. It's funded by the state legislature for soldiers in the Minnesota National Guard.
So they've got an opportunity for a great career in the Minnesota National Guard, get some education benefits, get promoted, and obviously you and the Colonel have spent quite a bit of your life in the service. It's worked out pretty good for you, hasn't it?
Absolutely, yep. You know, that's mainly the reason I joined initially, was to get my college paid for. That's not the reason I stayed. I stayed for the people, but certainly if you are looking for the opportunity for your college to be paid for, as Sergeant Horton had mentioned earlier, we can cover that.
All right, Major Kelly, thanks for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, sir. Thanks for having me.
As I said, we're up at Craigens on Gull Lake. We have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to meet the legendary Dutch Craigen, and we're going to wrap things up with Lieutenant Colonel Mike Pasternak from the Minnesota National Guard Recruiting and Retention Battalion. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. My co-host today has been Lieutenant Colonel Mike Pasternak, the commander of the Minnesota Recruiting and Retention Battalion. And we're at Craigens on Gull Lake.
Yay!
In the beautiful dining room overlooking the lake, and the sun's come up, and we're joined in this segment by the legendary Dutch Craigen. Dutch, welcome to the show.
I don't know about legend, but I'm sure I'm the oldest veteran here.
Korean War era veteran.
Yeah. Going to celebrate my 83rd birthday in about 2 weeks.
Well, happy birthday, Dutch.
Thank you very much. Well, listen, I want you to know how joyful it is to get up in the morning and see the sun pouring in through the window.
It's a beautiful sight from your dining room here.
And I tell you, the problem is that everybody in the neighborhood is calling up when we're going to open up the golf course. It's so early. It's so warm. And there's bare spots all over the place.
Well, it's a good question. When are you going to open it up?
Well, we're talking about maybe 3 weeks early, sometime early April, maybe end of March. But, you know, the point is that we want to prepare for the big Memorial Day weekend we have for veterans.
Yep, we have you on the show usually on Memorial Day every year to talk about that.
Do you? Yeah, well, I just tell you briefly, I just talked to my my superintendent and also the pro manager, and we're going to be having the usual celebration on Memorial on Sunday with the flag, the parade, et cetera, here at the resort. And then the afternoon is free and open to any veteran from any division. We've had a number of people from the Coast Guard show up, believe it or not. And so that's free. That's free. And so far, we've had over 1,000 veterans come up to play free golf on the afternoon prior to Memorial Day. And it's free all day Memorial Day also. So
great work, Dutch, and thank you for that.
Well, it's a lot of fun.
A lot of my friends.
I just want to tell you something. The first few years we did this, not many veterans were talking to each other about, you know, old war stories. We don't do that stuff. But the last few years, there's been a real camaraderie. It's amazing. And some of these fellows are bringing their wives up. So I just want to announce to anybody who's bringing their wife up this time, we're going to let the wives play the new thing called kick golf. Yeah, it's a big soccer ball. You kick it around the golf course, and they have, the holes are about 2.5 feet wide. So the wives don't have to just sit up there and drink coffee while their husbands are playing golf. They can play golf too.
Dutch, I thought you were going to tell me that you were teaching those old veterans how to tell stories.
Oh no, I don't do that. I'm having more fun listening to guys that I've never known were veterans either. And so this little booklet, there's about 1,000 names. If any veterans are listening and you want to just play a little golf, you don't have to be good, just call us up and get your name on and get a time. So,
Dutch, I had a quick question for you before we run out of time. You had a huge storm come up through here last year. First time in history you had to close the place down.
Right.
Thousands of trees down. The golf courses were a mess. But it looks great. You got new roof going up here. The resort looks terrific. You're open and ready to go.
Well, that's right. We were down for 2 weeks, and we actually could have had guests earlier. But we sent everybody home on the morning of the storm. And gave them the free night, of course. And so some didn't want to go, but we had so many trees down and so many wires down, they had to. And so we got opened up within 2 weeks, and we felt it was presentable enough by that time. But the golf course, we're still taking trees out right now. We had 2,800 trees.
Oh, my goodness. Well, Dutch, we're glad you're open, and the Minnesota National Guard Recruiting and Retention Battalion has been up here this weekend. And, Colonel, this is quite a great place to come up with all your troops. They can walk from room to room and down to the conference center inside without going outside, getting cold. Dutch has done a great job for our military, hasn't he?
Absolutely. Dutch, we want to thank you. Thank you for your service to your country and also for the great support that you've given us this weekend. You have a tremendous facility here.
Well, thank you. I just want to make one comment. You know, those guys in their dress uniforms look so spiffy. My wife said, why didn't you get one like that? I said, they didn't have those kind of uniforms for it. But anyway, they're a handsome bunch of guys and gals.
And gals.
Dutch, we appreciate you joining us this morning. The Colonel and I have got just a little bit of business to clean up here. And thank you, and the place looks great. Colonel, we just got a few minutes left. It's been quite a weekend up here at Craigan's on Gull Lake, and you've had all your soldiers up here and doing a lot of good work and giving out a few awards. And any final thoughts for our listeners? We got about 3 minutes left.
Well, I want to start by, you know, thanking our guests we had today. You know, what a great example of the high quality of soldiers that we have in our formation. And they did a tremendous job, and I appreciate their hard work. You know, in the National Guard, you know, there's something that really distinguishes us from our active duty counterparts. You know, we live here, we work here, we serve here. We are members of our community. You know, we talk about diversity, we talk about inclusion, but we talk about we need to represent our communities. Well, we are part of those communities, and it's important that we are an accurate representation so that we can serve, because we don't just serve on these national missions or deployments overseas. We also serve our state in times of need, whether it's state active duty, if we have tornadoes, we have flooding, we have any other number of things that can happen. And, you know, we're very proud of that opportunity to be members of our communities, to be prepared to serve our state, and to serve our nation. And thanks again for the time.
Colonel, it's been a pleasure to come up here, and especially to join you and your soldiers for that dining out last night. And Happy to have you here this morning with on a bright morning with Dutch Cragen, so that we can say hello to the community and tell everybody in Minnesota that if you're interested in a career in the military service, get a hold of one of those Minnesota National Guard recruiters. Right, sir?
Absolutely.
All right, sir. Thanks for joining us again this morning. That was Lieutenant Colonel Mike Pasternak, the commander of the Minnesota National Guard Recruiting and Retention Battalion from Cragen's on Gull Lake. We're just about out of time. If you have a mailbag question or a suggestion for a topic you'd like us to address, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com and click on Contact Us to send us a note. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Staff Sergeant Corinda Horton, First Sergeant Ben Rimaldi, Major Ryan Kelly, Dutch Cragen from Cragen's on Gull Lake, and Lieutenant Colonel Mike Pasternak, the Battalion Commander of the Minnesota National Guard Recruiting and Retention Battalion, Commissioner Larry Shalitoe of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.